Recording in progress.
Amen. 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 So I welcome all of you to this platform. As you know, we've been studying the book of Daniel. We are today up to Daniel chapter 8. It's a very interesting chapter. And I know for many years I would look at this chapter and try to figure it out, you know? And so now I want to give you, what the God has given me, amen? And what God has given many persons, amen? The understanding of this chapter. So we're going to start right away, not to take up any more time. We're going to start with the first verse in Daniel chapter 8, amen? As usual, I'll take somebody to read.
All right. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time.
Amen. So we have been studying Daniel, and we know that he's had some visions, amen? His old book, We've seen interpretations of dreams and visions and so on and so forth. This particular vision occurs in 551 B.C., 2 years after the vision in Daniel chapter 7. You remember Daniel's chapter 7 was an awesome vision. About the four beasts and so on and so forth. And we explained, what that was all about. Amen. So this occurs about 2 years later. And then in verse 2, Pastor Bernice, would you continue reading?
I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai.
Amen. So, he's telling you in the vision where he is. Amen. Mm-hmm. And he's in Shushan, which would be the future capital of the Persian Empire. Okay? You know that Persia is in reference to France. It is France. Iran. I don't know where that came out of. Iran. You know the country of Iran? Well, its old name was Persia. And this is the Persian Empire. So he is in the vision. He is in the future capital of this, of Iran, of Shushan. Okay, the Persian Empire. So, and he says, look what he says. He says, let me find it here, which is in the province of Elam. Elam is an ancient area in Iran. Mm-hmm. You got that? Elam is in Iran. Okay, that's an ancient area of Iran, the actual country today of Iran. Okay? Not the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was vast, right? So he's in the Persian Empire, but I'm speaking of Iran of today. Elam is in the Iran of today, even though it was part of the Persian Empire. So I hope I'm not confusing you, but I'm trying to show you that that area is still part of Iran today. That's what I'm trying to show you. Okay? So he's in this, what he calls the ancient country of Elam, okay? And, I don't want to give you too many facts. It's actually located in southwest Iran. Now, Daniel, he may be there physically or spiritually. He doesn't say, but he says he's in the vision. He has this vision. So I'm assuming that he's there spiritually, right? Let me see how he says this, just to make this clear. Yes, he says, so I was in Shushan, the citadel which is in the province of Elam, and I saw the in the vision that I was by the river Euphrates. So you can't distinguish. He says, I was there, but then I saw in the vision. You understand how mm-hmm. the sentence flows?
Mm-hmm.
That's why theologians say, we don't know if he was really there, or that's all part of the vision that he was there. Okay? So, here's what I want to tell you about that area. Today, many Americans are very, very much against Iran. For all the things that are happening in Iran, many Americans are very antagonistic toward Iran. Let's hope it's just the government and not the people of Iran. Amen? We are against the government, this horrible, horrible Islamic dictatorship. We are against that, not against the people. But here's what it says. Let me take you to a scripture. There are many scriptures condemning Iran and what's going to happen in the future. But there is a prophecy that I want you to hear. It says, let me get it, because I don't want to get into too much here. Okay, here it is. When you have a chance, read Jeremiah chapter 49. And read the verses 34 to 39. Now, well, maybe let's read them. I have to show you this because I want people to understand that we may be against governments, but we are not to hate people. And I hate to say this, living in the South, I find so much hate against people not understanding what the word actually says. The word says, this is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam. Okay? Now, here is judgment. Here is judgment. This is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might. I will bring against Elam four winds, that's judgment, amen, from the four quarters of the heaven. I will scatter them to the four winds, and there will not be a nation where Elam's exiles do not go. That's judgment that is coming. I will shatter Elam before their foes, before those who want to kill them. I will bring disaster upon them. Even in my force of my fierce anger, declares the Lord, I will pursue them with the sword until I have made an end of them. Okay, so God is declaring judgment against Iran. Amen. But then listen to what he says in verse 38. I will set my throne in Elam and destroy her kings and officials, declares the Lord. Yet I will restore the fortunes of Elam in days to come, declares the Lord. What is he saying? Mm. He's saying that he's going to bring judgment, but in latter days, he's going to destroy those officials, ayatollahs, those people that are, those dictators. God is going to destroy them. Then he's going to restore Elam. He's going to restore them. So we have to have a heart of compassion for peoples that live in these nations that are being persecuted. They have to agree with the ayatollahs. They have to agree to Islam. Otherwise, they will be killed. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're born, they are automatically stamped Muslim. Islam, their religion is automatically dictated to them. So I want you and I to pray for these people and know that the fastest growing Christian underground community is in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And that's today. Amen. All right, so let us go to verse 3. Anyone?
Verse 3. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns, standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later.
Before also.
You want me to keep 4? Okay.
Yes.
I watched the ram as it charged towards the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand up against it, and none could rescue from its power.
Amen.
As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between sides came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground.
All right, let's stop there. Amen. Let's concentrate on verses 3 and 4. I used to read these verses years and years ago, and I would try to figure out, what does it mean? What does it mean? But as I studied in prior years, finally it came together. Thank you, God. My studying. Not that I got this sudden illumination. Amen. That's what I got to tell you, people. You got to study the Word. You just can't expect God to open it up every time. But once you study, He will open it up. Amen. So here is, isn't this interesting? This is the vision, right? He's looking up, right? And he sees a ram, right? And the ram has two horns. Amen. And one horn is higher than the other horn, right? So, and then he says, he sees this, try to picture it, this ram just pushing, moving north. It's moving west. It's moving south. And no animal could withstand this ram. Mm-hmm. So, this is symbolic language. Amen? Mm-hmm. This is what God is speaking to us in symbolism. So who do you think the ram is? So the ram, and later on it will be confirmed in this scripture reading, the ram is the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, you know who the Medo-Persian Empire is? You remember Babylon? That was, because there are 7 empires that come and go, but there are 4 great empires. And the first one listed in the book of Daniel is Babylon, right? We all know Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. We all remember that. But then his grandson was conquered by Medo-Persian Empire. Amen? By Darius of the Medo-Persian Empire. So this is the empire that's being depicted by this ram with two horns. And then, so two horns are this empire. The Medians and the Persians. Those were two empires that came together. Okay, they conquered. Now one of them was stronger than the other. That's why you have one horn higher or longer than the other. Amen. The longer horn is Persia. Because Persia dominated, right? It's called the Persian Empire after the Medo. It's Medo-Persian, but Persia conquers the Medianite and the Media. Persia conquers and it becomes the most powerful empire. So the longer horn is Persia, okay? Because that's what becomes dominant. And then it says, it went to what? It gives you directions. If I'm going too fast, let me know. It gives you directions. And it says west, north, and south. Well, those were the areas that were conquered by Persia. That was first of all, Persia conquers Babylon, right? We understand that. Then Lydia, amen, which is north, and Egypt, which is south. Babylon was the Western Empire. So it's giving you the directions that this ram is going, right? He's running very fast, and he's conquering. Amen? So this is the Persian Empire. Amen? Is that clear? I think it's clear. Okay. If not, let me know. But that's what's depicted there, and that's what theologians agree upon. Now, let's go to verse, 5-7. Continue to, in your mind's eye, look at this ram going forward to these areas, amen, and conquering. Now, let's go to verse 5-7. If someone will.
And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, crossing the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a noticeable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with fierce power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacking the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand.
All right. So remember, the ram is actually an empire, right? Mm-hmm. So the goat has to be another empire that comes against the Persian Empire and destroys and overtakes. Amen? So what do you think the goat is? Who comes after the Persian Empire? The Greek Empire, right? The Greek Empire comes after. So the goat is Greece. And Greece is to the west of the Persian Empire. And it tells you he comes from the west. Amen? And it says, okay, so then it says it has a notable horn. So who was it that conquered from Greece? Was it not Alexander the Great? Was it not? This amazes me. Mm-hmm. This is way before any of this happened. Amen? Hallelujah. This is hundreds of years before. Amen? And God has given us a picture of the future. He was giving them, and he does today. He gives us. This is Greece. And the notable horn is Alexander the Great. Without touching the ground, it means the speed at which he conquered. He conquered. The speed at which he conquered. Amen? And the goat conquers the ram. Greece, under Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, conquers the Persian Empire. Okay? That's what that is, okay? And remember that I think it was Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel reveals to Nebuchadnezzar the four empires that are going to come. And Nebuchadnezzar's empire was the first, and the second was the Medo-Persian, and the third was the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. And here's the prophecy again. God is reiterating. Amen? Hallelujah. You all remember that was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the different empires. Amen? Verse 8. Let's read verse 8.
Therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven.
So, if you know history, Alexander the Great, he died very young. He died at 32 years of age. And he had four generals that began to fight for his empire. and his empire was divided among these four generals. Amen? That's why it says the large horn was broken. Remember, the large horn is Alexander the Great. And four notable ones came up. When he died, his kingdom, his empire was divided among his four generals. Okay? Now, let me tell you how it was divided, what the kingdoms were. Remember, the Greek Empire is known as what? The Hellenistic period. Right? That's why the New Testament was written in Greek. It was written in Greek, amen, because that was the language of that empire, and continued during the Roman times. The Greek was the fluent language, amen. Now here's the first empire was the Ptolemaic Empire, amen. The Ptolemaic income, excuse me, taxes, the Ptolemaic kingdom. Right? Because it's no longer an empire, right? Mm-hmm. The empire has been divided, right? Between four generals. So this is no longer an empire. These are kingdoms. So the Ptolemaic kingdom was based in Egypt, okay? So it was based by, it was ruled by Ptolemy. And so that's one kingdom. The second kingdom was Seleucid income. I mean, why am I saying income? My brain is focused on income. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm a tax accountant. Who knows? So the Seleucid kingdom, amen, it was ruled by, these names are hard to pronounce, Seleucus the First. And then you have the Antigonid kingdom, and that was ruled by that was in Greece, Macedonia, and it was ruled by Antigonus the First. Okay, let me go back. The first the kingdom that was in Egypt. Let's see. Okay, that was established in Egypt. The second kingdom, the Seleucid kingdom, was ran across Asia, Mesopotamia, and Persia. The third kingdom was the Antigonid kingdom, which we'd have to keep track of, and it was ruled by Antigonus the First and his descendants. And the fourth kingdom was the Attalid kingdom, and that was modern-day Turkey, amen, that area. Okay, so those are the four kingdoms, okay, and just keep that in mind. And let's go on to verse 9, and I need to slow down. Somebody read 9:10. Yes.
And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it came down from of the host and soon, and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them.
Amen, amen. Well, this is really a symbolic chapter. Amen. Anyway, let's look at that. And so out of this little horn, I mean out of these kingdoms, right? Because because you know in grammar, you have to refer, when it says something like this, and out of them, who is them? Who is them? What was spoken previously, right? So it's speaking about these four kingdoms. Mm-hmm. So out of these kingdoms came a little horn. Amen? So I want you to notice something. It doesn't say out of Rome. It says out of these four kingdoms. So out of these kingdoms comes a little horn, amen? Out of the divided kingdoms of the dead Alexander the Great comes this little horn. Amen. And then it says, read verse, because I'm going to put all this together. Read verse 11 and 12.
He even exalted himself as high as the priest, as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of the transgressions, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered.
Amen. So, again, let's review this. And I know that you all are thinking about Revelation, and I want you to know that in the Old Testament, you have foreshadows of what's going to happen in the future. These are dual prophetic prophecies. Okay, now what he's saying, so out of these divisions came the little horn, so we know that it's not Rome. And then it says that the little horn conquers. Listen to this. And one of them came, a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. So what is it doing? It's conquering. Okay, this little horn, which comes out of these four kingdoms, is conquering these lands. It's becoming mighty. It's becoming great. Amen. And it overthrows these other kingdoms. It overthrows the kingdoms to the south, to the east. And who's the glorious land? Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel is the glorious land. And even to conquer Israel, okay? So, and it says here, it persecutes the people of God, the host of heaven. The interpretation of that, the hosts of heaven, the stars, are the people of God. Amen? Look what it says here. Let me take you back. Back to 10. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and some of the stars and trampled them to the ground. Again, dual prophecy. He exalts himself as high as the prince of the host. Who is the prince of the host? Jesus. Amen. He is the prince. And then it says, by him the daily sacrifices were taken away. Again, dual prophecy, and I'll explain it further in a little bit. Okay? And then it says that an army was given over to him to oppose the daily sacrifices. Those are the sacrifices that take place in the temple. Amen? And it says that he cast down truth and all, and he prospered. Okay? Now, let me go further. So he overthrows. Now, let me tell you something. This happened historically. This did happen. And I'll tell you with whom it happened. Although, it will happen again in the future. Let me tell you this. And you must have heard of him. Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. You've heard that name, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Okay, so he was a descendant of that empire. Antigonid Empire. He was one of the descendants. Remember, the prophecy for this empire says that, well, his the general, he's one of the generals from Alexander the Great, right? One of the four generals. And it says that his descendants continue to rule. So it doesn't say that about the other kingdoms. This is one of his descendants. And what happened, and this is historically verified, okay? Okay, let me tell you what he did. Okay, so now he's ruling. He's the one that's in charge. I know you've heard of this. he places a pig on the altar in the temple. You've heard of this, right? This took place in history. This is verified historically. Amen. And this was in 168 to 167 B.C. before Christ. This is when this happened, okay? But this still has a future implication to the Antichrist. Because, let me tell you what this was called. This is the abomination of desolation. It's an abomination. And that's the future, also describes the future abomination of desolation, which will take place with the Antichrist. Now, he puts a pig on the temple. What food do Jews not eat? Pig. Jews do not eat the pig. Now, so this is horrifying to them. And then, on top of that, he was building an altar to the Greek god Zeus. On top of the altar in the temple. Totally, a total abomination. And what happened? He was trying to Hellenize the Jews, make them like Greeks, you know, believe in multiple gods and all that, like the Greeks. So he did that intentionally. But what happened? That provoked the Jewish revolt, the Jewish uprising. Amen? You've heard the name, you've heard the book, you heard the name Maccabees, the Maccabees. That you hear that because the Jewish revolt, after they did this, the Jews knew they could not tolerate this, right? So what they did was they revolted. They fought, and this fight was led by Judas Maccabees. Judas Maccabees. This revolt was led by him. Amen. And everything, the temple, they cleaned out the temple, they rededicated, you know, it was a cleansing. And this event, the Jewish revolt today, is celebrated by the festival of Hanukkah. That's what they celebrate during Hanukkah. This is what they celebrate. These are things that really happen. But look how, you know, years before God had prophesied that this would happen. Remember, when did Daniel have this vision? Do you remember what I said in the beginning? 500 and I think, 51 B.C.? This doesn't happen till 167 B.C., amen? Like almost 400 years later. When you read prophecy in the book, let's say in our book, you got to know it's going to come to pass. Because so many have come to pass. And we have to rely on prophecy and understand and receive it and act accordingly. Amen? According to what this word says. Amen? Hallelujah. So, somebody read verse 13.
Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, continue. And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed."
Okay. So, here's Daniel in the vision. So, he says, someone, because it's not Daniel, someone is speaking to the Holy One, who's probably Gabriel, because God always sent Gabriel with visions and messages, and he did send them to Daniel previously, right? So, he's saying one holy one, so I'm saying one angelic being, is speaking to the other one, and he's asking, how long will this last? And he tells him, for 103,000, now the New King James says, for 2,300 days. What do you think that means? Actually, let me tell you what the Hebrew actually means. It means for 2,300 evenings and mornings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not 2,300 days. It's 2,300 evenings and mornings. Amen? And so when you actually interpret that, it comes out to 1,150 days. Because evening and morning, amen? So it's 2,300 evenings and mornings. That means 1,150 days. Because an evening and a morning is really one day, not 2,300 days. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
It should be 2,300 evenings and mornings. That means half of that. Because an evening and a morning equals one day. So that's what he tells them. It's going to last. And do you know that this exactly matches from the time that Antiochus desecrated the temple to its cleansing? It was 1,150 days. From the time he desecrated it, and from the time that Judas Maccabees cleansed the temple. How can we doubt the word of God? Mm. The angel tells them the exact time it's going to take place. Amen? And it points to this fact, that God will allow evil for only a time. Evil will not dominate forever.
Mm.
Amen? Hallelujah. God puts a stamp, a date stamp on evil. Amen? And God's people, look at this, these were the Jews. God's people and his sanctuary will be restored. Amen?
Amen.
So now we have, the angel gives the interpretation. Okay? And you can see where we got all this information from, where he clearly explains it. So I'll take somebody to read 15 through 17.
Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euphrates, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end.
Amen. Amen. So let's stop there a minute, okay? So this is what I find fascinating. When he says, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euphrates, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So who has, I mean, it has to be the Lord. It has to be Jesus telling Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, make him understand the vision. Amen. And then he fell on his face. Daniel fell on his face. And then he says, it's for a time of the end. Amen? Now, again, we have dual prophecy here. Now, somebody, Vinny, read 18.
Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and stood me upright. Mm.
And read the next one.
And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be.
Amen. So we know that what he showed, what the vision showed, amen, it showed the oppression, right? It showed the oppression of Antiochus. It showed all the empires, things that had happened, but it also showed this oppression, and this oppression ended, amen? But the ultimate message is for the time of the Antichrist. That's what the ultimate message is for. And this is a message for us who are living at this time. Amen? Because we can look back to history and we can say this happened. So this is a message for that final time in history, in our future, the final time, the end of the ages. This is a message that looks to that time also. So he's giving you events that already happened. But he's telling you this is for the time of the end. So again, dual prophecy, foreshadowing of future events. Amen? So let's read verse 20. 20 to 22. Anybody want to read?
The ram, yeah. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia.
Okay, stop there. So isn't that what we said? The ram with the two horns? Okay, go ahead.
And the male goat is the kingdom of Greece.
Okay, I'm verified.
The large horn that is between its eye is the first king.
Right, that's Alexander, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power.
Okay, so these kingdoms, and we saw that, and history confirms it, they arise from the death of Alexander the Great, but none of them are equal to the power of Alexander the Great's kingdom. None of these kingdoms. Amen? None of these generals. Okay, now let's go to, this is a long one, and we're going to, let's read it all together, okay? Let's go from verse 23 through 25. Yes.
23. In the last part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce-looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause the seed to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Princes.
Go ahead.
Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given you is true. But seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future.
Amen. Hallelujah, for it concerns the distant future. So, come on, everybody. Who is this that the angel is referring to?
Christ.
The Antichrist, amen. He will rise in the future. The Antichrist. Yes, Hector. Yes. And his power, he says you know, well, who does his power come from? Because in here it says that his power is not from his own. When you read it, that his power doesn't come from him. Who does his, see, his power, on verse 24 it says, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Who's it coming from?
The beast.
Satan. Huh? His power will come from Satan. And it tells you, he's going to thrive. He's going to be prosperous. It says that. Amen? It says, and shall prosper and thrive. It says he shall, he kills, he shall destroy many in the holy people of God. What's the Antichrist? Who is the Antichrist going to come after? The Jews? The Jews, the people of God, and the people that will have been born again during the tribulation and refuse to worship him. And the Jews will definitely not worship him because, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hallelujah. They will not worship any other God, and he will persecute them. And the word of God says in Revelation that God will take them to a hiding place, will protect them. Many believe that this will be Petra, but we will see, right? Come to see. So he thrives, he kills many. He's a liar. It says something about, let's say, deceit, right? Oh, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's going to lie to the people, and his lies are going to prosper. And those that believe his lies are going to prosper. And the Lord Jesus, what did he say? Oh, my gosh. I don't remember to whom, to the Pharisees. He said something to the effect, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. Amen. All this, all his power comes from the Satan. And then it says in 25, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He will destroy many. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. He's going to exalt himself thinking that he can be above Jesus, above the prince. He's going to place himself in the temple and want to be worshipped as God. That's when the Jews are going to flee. That's going to happen at the midpoint of the tribulation. That's when, after the tribulation has been 3.5 years, then he's going to desecrate the temple. That's the future abomination of desolation. He's going to place himself in the temple. We don't know how, if it's going to be a hologram or if he's physically going to be there, but he's going to place of himself at the temple to be worshipped. That is the future abomination of desolation. Amen. He is going to think that he is above the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And then it says, but he shall be broken, and not by human means. That means that the people are not going to be able to come against him. Amen. Hallelujah. But God himself will destroy him. As he thinks to exalt himself above God, in the end, he will be destroyed. Amen? Amen. Amen. And listen to this, the final verse. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Boy, I would like a vision like that. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Why? Because it was given to him. It was for him alone. God knew who Daniel was, and God gave Daniel the vision of the future, of both periods in the future. Amen. So, sometimes God gives you something and it's not for everybody, because everybody will not understand what God has given you.
Right.
And there are times, and you have to learn that there are times when you should speak and times for you to be silent and allow the vision to unfold. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I could go on, but I'm not. I can give you the time. If you're interested, I'll give them to you. You can email me. The times when these things took place in history. The ram, the goat, the horns, the little horn, the 2300 mornings. And, you know, I can give you the actual time in history when all this was fulfilled. I'm not going to give it to you now because it'd be too many numbers and it could be, you know. But anyway, here's what we learned. God controls history. Amen? He controls the empires that rise and the empires that fall. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And persecution will not be forever. We have to understand it. Amen. And we saw that he fixes the duration of time that these things will take place. We saw that with the 2300 evenings and mornings. And we see that with the tribulation, which is only going to be 7 years, according to the word of God. Amen. And we know that an Antichrist will arise and will persecute. Amen. But we know this, that Christ is the victor. Our God has the final say. And one day we will be enjoying heaven with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Blessings, blessings, blessings.